that song. We must reach them while we can. We ought to be, again, about doing the Father's business, telling others about Jesus Christ, winning others to Him. It's good to have the Oster family with us tonight. And we were just talking up in the office a while ago that Brother Oster, first time he visited with us, we were out at Norris at the school building, at the seminary building. And then they were back with us about 3 years ago here at this building. And so I know they've been through a lot. And, you know, God gives us grace and peace in those times, and losing loved ones, and then also continue to be in prayer for their middle one, who is continuing to have tests, and he'll give a little report on that. But the work there in Argentina goes on, and I know he's anxious to get back. He'll be going back in September. And so, Brother Oster, won't you come and
Well, it is good to be back, and to be back in the United States. It's a little different sometimes to see things change. The last time we were here, this church was just out here, and there was nothing out here but a building and a big, huge field, and now there's houses surrounding you and everything, and it's good to see the area growing. Just to give you a quick report of our son, Corey, we came back. We were scheduled to come back for a short furlough at the end of this year, but in November, our son, Corey, began to have seizures. Short ones, and sometimes they're just different. And so we took them to a few places there in Argentina, but they just kind of didn't really know what to do or to give us the long way. And so Lord began to work and allowed us to come back early. And so we got him into the hospital. He does have epilepsy. He does have epilepsy. So we have him on medication. We took him to a geneticist, and they found that he has a duplication of his 15th chromosome, which they believe that is the cause of his seizures. And so the neurologist said that she thinks that she might hear a speech or hearing thing that he has to do. So we still have to take him to have a therapist, a speech and hearing therapist, to see if everything is okay with all of that, and see how he is adopting with that. Lady said they know very little about the chromosome thing. They're getting better and better about that. And so she just kind of gave us general. She said, well, that's what he has, but we don't know what's going on. But he obviously had a seizure, so we know it's affecting him in that way. But whether or not it affects him later on in life or other things, there's no way to know that. Of course, it's all up to God, so it doesn't matter to us anyway. He is on medication, and it has been working. He's only had like a few since then. Of course, he'll probably have a few until they get everything adjusted and get everything adjusted. He has to go back to his neurologist on the 15th or sometime in July. To do an update, just do a review, and do all of those things. He did spend a night in Cook's Children's Medical Center at their seizure center, and that place was really cool. We got cameras and hooked it all up, and they knew when he was having one by his brain, and it was a pretty neat place in there. And so they got everything. We thank the Lord for that they was able to get it detected. The medication that he is on, we can get in Argentina. You don't even need a prescription for it. You can just go down there and tell them what you want. You buy it. Sometimes it's good to be there. I need medication. And so be praying for that. It is expensive in Argentina, however. And so just be praying about that the Lord would take care of us. And Corey is our youngest son. Our middle son is Landon. He's doing okay. Just the week before we came here, he fell out of bed after church on Sunday night and broke his elbow. And he had to have surgery on that. They put two pins in his arm, temporary pins in his arm for that. And so we took x-rays and things like that. And in Argentina, they give all that back to you. So Landon he's very proud. He loves his pictures of his bones. If you'd ask him to come to our house, he'd want to show you his bones. The doctor let me keep the pins. When he pulled them out, I said, can I have those pins? And he thought that was strange. I said, well, I paid $5,000 for those pins. I want those pins back. So all they are is those two little 16-penny nails that they just knocked in there. I could have went to Lowe's and said, here's a couple of nails. Just use these. You know, they're just chrome-plated nails. That's all they are. And so just be praying for them. We are excited. Like Pastor said, we are going back in September. Looking forward to going back and getting back to the work, which we'll show you on our video. And just be praying for that. And whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and play that.
Hello, we are the Oster family, missionaries on the field of Argentina. During our second term, we continue to work and help in the La Iglesia Bautista in Monte Grande with fellow missionaries, the Roy Webster family. We were honored to have a small group from our sending church, Liberty Baptist Church in Lewisville, Texas, come and help with some construction and some remodeling in the church. It was an honor to have them come and to be able to see the field. But as well as construction, we were also faithful in several other ministries, including youth, children's ministries, and vacation Bible schools, as well as ladies' fellowships and youth camps of all ages and other forms of evangelism. Also actively praying and seeking God's will and finding the right place to begin a new work. We had been praying especially for two cities, Adrogay and Rusaco. God answered our prayers by giving us a locale right in the corner of both cities, one half block from the main avenue that passes right through both cities. The hotel that God gave us needed many renovations and much repair, but it was a great place. It had space for an auditorium, a full bathroom, a good-sized kitchen, a nursery, and also one classroom. The hotel had not been used for many years, and so it had to be first thoroughly cleaned before we could then scrape the walls and to repair and to replace the humidity damage in each wall. Once the damage was replaced, we could then paint and decorate each room. It took about 1 month to repair and to prepare the locale for our very first service. We named the church Iglesia Bautista Libertad, and on a Sunday morning of July 17, 2011, God allowed us to hold our first service. We had 13 people in attendance. We were also honored to have some from Iglesia Bautista in Monte Grande come and help us with this very special day. Since our first service, we have had several new visitors and special days, such as Mother's Day in October, as well as Children's Day in August. We have also had other special services for the holidays. We have also seen our first salvation in the services during the invitation on a Sunday in November. We have also had the honor of having our sending pastor, Dr. Dick Webster, from the Liberty Baptist Church in Lewisville, Texas, come and preach for us and be a part of the services and see the new work. It was an honor for him to come, and it was an honor for me to be able to translate for my sending pastor. During our furlough, we placed a young man, Armando Quispes, in the pastorate to lead the church during our absence. He is a very good preacher and a hard worker. We are praying that God will use him to do great things in the church. So please pray for us as we soon return to continue preaching and winning souls, and for Iglesia Bautista Libertad, that it will grow and reach the cities of Adrogay and Rusaco.
People are doing their Bible study. On Wednesday night, we had a woman get saved, and there's been a couple others, but she came and said, I want to start learning about the Word of God. So on Wednesday nights, we began our discipleship programs and doing all those, and we were started with a program. I'm not sure if pastors ever heard of it, but in English, it's the ABCs of Christian Growth by Brother Pastor Sargent up in Washington. Of course, in Spanish, we call it Los Primeros Pasos para el Crecimiento Cristiano, and it's the same thing. It's a very good program for discipleship, so we started that on Wednesday nights. And so when we came back to the States with this young man, we kind of put Wednesday night on hold, and so he is continuing discipling, doing the discipleship on Sunday mornings, and just doing an extended service, and he'll do that, and then doing all the whole services. And so we've been let us know that she's still been faithful, that she's our first convert, the lady there with the blue shirt. Her name is Stella. Just pray for her. She lives in a house, big house, and her daughter, everybody live on the other side of the house and have kids. And so Satan's really trying to use that family, her kids, to try to keep her out of church. But she's been faithful. She's been learning. I think up till now they're in the church part of the Bible studies, and they said they've really been enjoying that. So just continue to pray for her and for some others. We had 10 people on our last Sunday there before we came back to the United States. And so we're praying for that. We're praying that, I was kidding with him, kind of sword kidding with him. I didn't want to scare him, but I told him, this young man, he'd been praying the Lord would give him ministry. So we're praying that we can give him that one. I told him if we get back and there's 5-10 people there that I don't know because you want them, brought them in church, I'm just going to let you have that one. And I'm going to go start another church somewhere else. And so he kind of got a real big eye when I said that, because I don't know if that scared him or not. But that's what we're praying for, that we can leave that ministry with him. He's already been to Bible college. He's already been to seminary. He's already graduated from that. He's working on staff at Iglesia Bautista Libertad, which is in Monte Grande, which is the church that Brother Roy Webster used to pastor. They're running about 120 people. And so we're really praying that God will allow him to be able to go there and take that church so we can go off and plant another church. We'll see how the Lord works in that area and see more souls get saved. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We'll begin reading there in verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for this church's hospitality, for allowing us to come and to present our burden, our ministry in Argentina, and the church, and the souls that have been saved, and the small church that is growing in a new city. And I just pray that you would continue to bless them there in Bursaco. But thank you for this evening, God, that we have, that we can meet together and look into your word. Help me this evening, Lord, to say the right things, that your Holy Spirit might be able to speak to our hearts. And ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you want a full joy, you have to get to know Jesus Christ. That's the title of my message. If you want full joy, you have to get to know Jesus Christ. And John first wrote this book, not only about his own experiences, but about the experiences of all the apostles. If you read 1 John, he hardly ever uses the personal pronouns I or me. He's always using we or us and as an experience. And John is going to explain to us his experiences and his life with God and with Jesus Christ. But he's not necessarily speaking of just his own experiences. He's speaking for all of the apostles. And it's as if the apostles got together and he wrote it out and wrote out his experiences, but also the experiences of all of the apostles. And in the first four verses, you can see that in verses 1, that we have seen with our eyes and that we have looked upon. And even though John is the writer of this book, and if John is the writer of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he's really speaking of all of the experiences of all the apostles and of all those people that walked with Jesus while his time was here on the ministry on this earth. And he always uses a personal pronoun, but it's in a plural personal pronoun. It's also important to note here in the introduction that Jesus, John here, never uses the word had in these first four verses, because he is speaking of actions or experiences that remain with them today. And I like it the way it translates it in Spanish, because we have the verbs in Spanish are a lot more specific than they are in English. But here he says that which we have heard from the past, and those things which we have seen, and those things which we have touched. Because John wants us to understand that the things that John experienced when he first met God and first met Jesus Christ still continue on. He didn't say we had seen and those things that we had heard, because that would mean that if he experienced something in the past, it ended in the past. Right. I could say that I have loved my wife since our wedding. I wouldn't say I had loved my wife since my wedding, because that would mean that now I don't love her anymore. Now, my wife probably says that all the time. I had loved my husband, but she has to be nice to me, because I bought her real nice flowers. And I put them in a real nice vase and everything. So at least for 2 days, I should be good for at least 2 days. But my birthday was yesterday, so it's kind of we kind of just give each other presents. But John just wants us to understand here that for us to have a full life of joy, as John had it, and as John explained to us, and as he's showing here in the first four verses, that he wants us to have as well, we must first get to know Jesus Christ as John did and as the apostles did. And so John wants to explain to us and wants to show to us what they experienced and how they obtained their full joy from their personal experiences with Jesus Christ. Now, honestly, obviously, we cannot have the same personal experience that the apostles had. Obviously, that's impossible. Jesus Christ is not walking on this earth. Jesus Christ did not come to a local church and preach. Now, he did through the pastor, but Jesus Christ himself was not here this morning, physically speaking. He's already in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for us. We know that. But John is speaking to us and he says, even though that we might have an experience that you may not quite have, you can still have the same close personal relationship with us. And so John says, I want to show you some things and show you how we obtained our full joy. Why? Because in verse 4, he wants us to have the same full joy that he had. And so he begins there in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. First of all, we see his experiences. We have to think back to all that John had experienced and the other apostles have experienced. He says first there, that things which we have heard. Can you imagine to be able to have heard the Sermon on the Mount? They heard the Sermon on the Mount and the power with which he preached. Before Jesus Christ, all they had was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there was never any power with what they spoke. And they just quoted the law, and it was blah, 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 and it was just a dull, monotonous thing that they did. But along came this man named Jesus Christ, and along came this man. He began to preach, and he began to proclaim the Word of God. And the Bible says that those first few times that Jesus Christ spoke, the people were sat there, and they were amazed at the power and at the doctrines that this guy spoke. And it made the Sadducees, and it scared them to death. And the throngs began to come, and the throngs began to come to see him, to listen. And if you can think about the apostles and John and all those, they got to listen to him, and they were just as amazed as anybody else was at the power that Jesus Christ had. Can you imagine when they were on the boat? And the waves were going, and they were crashing around, and they were about to sink, and they were doing everything they could to sink, and they went down, and Jesus was sleeping at the bottom of the boat. And they, at that time, didn't really realize who Jesus Christ was, because obviously Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. He couldn't die in a boat, so as long as they just left the man alone sleeping, they weren't going to die. But they woke him up, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the waters obeyed, and all of a sudden it was calm. Can you imagine that? The Bible says that they murmured amongst themselves, "What kind of manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey him." Can you imagine that? They had to have talked about that. If they had cell phones, they'd been tweeting that. "Whoa, can you believe that this thing just happened? I can't believe that." My brother asked me, "Are you on Twitter?" I said, "I'm not on Twitter. I don't even know what that is." And so we don't even have phones in Argentina. And my father gave me a phone, and it's one of those flip open, closed kind. It's, I have a handicap phone, that's what I call it. Everybody else has smartphones. I have a handicap phone. But can you imagine all the things that they heard and the power and the voice that they had at the Garden of Gethsemane after the apostle that's not saved, Judas, after he goes and he comes back and he brings the people with him and the soldiers with him, and they begin to come and they begin to betray Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, "Who seek ye?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." And the Bible says, with just his voice, the Bible says that the soldiers were knocked back to the ground. They were knocked back just by the voice, just by the words that he spoke. And John says, we experienced all of that. As they went up in the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Jesus Christ, and they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And they heard that. And they heard the voice of God. Can you imagine the things that they got to hear from the Word of God, from the mouth of Jesus Christ? Then it also says that which we have heard and that which we have seen with our eyes. I've got to see some pretty amazing things. On our drive here this morning, on our drive here tonight, I got to kill a bird. I killed a red bird. I don't know what it was. It came up out of the island and I smacked it and we killed it dead tonight. That was cool. I tried to get Ash to give me five, but she thought that was really sad. I'm waiting for my boys to get bigger when that kind of stuff is cool with them. But we've seen some pretty amazing things. You can go to Argentina and there's some very beautiful places in Argentina. There's some very beautiful places here in America. But we've seen a lot of other amazing things in our lives and a lot of other kind of things that we could just think and look to ourselves, wow, that is awesome. Wow, that is very beautiful. But can you imagine getting to hear somebody say, Lazarus, come forth, and a dead guy come out of the grave? Imagine the being able to get to see that. And all of the things that Jesus Christ did, He calmed the waters, He walked on the waters. They've never seen that before. And Peter even got to do it himself. He got to walk on the water. They've never seen that kind of thing before. All of the things that they saw, they got to carry the baskets and they're carrying them around. There's no way this is going to feed 5,000 people. But they begin to look around. The Bible says there was 12 baskets full, so evidently it was multiplying. And so I can imagine John is carrying his basket and there's two little tiny pieces. And every time he looks down, there's more in there. And he's looking at the other apostles. Is your basket doing the same thing my basket's doing? They saw all of these things. And they began to experience all these things with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ began to grow with them and began to get fonder and fonder with them. And it never ceases to amaze. Every time something happened, it was amazing. Jesus Christ healed lots of people. He raised people from the dead. He spit in some mud and stuck in somebody's eye and he could see again. All of the amazing things that Jesus did. Can you imagine if you were there? I'm a germaphobe. My son's a germaphobe. He would never let somebody stick mud in his eye. But he did that. Made the crazy man of the Gadarenes. Nobody could control the guy. He was always slicing himself. Always cutting himself up. And the next thing you know, they come back. He's clothed. Sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Can you imagine that? They had to have talked about it all night long. All of the amazing stuff that they saw and all the amazing stuff that they heard and all the amazing stuff that they experienced. And as they went with Jesus Christ, that which we have seen with our eyes and that which we have looked upon. When they say it is looked upon, it doesn't mean to just stare at people. You have to get your kids not stare at people. You know, they're just like, person is weird. You know, in Argentina they have weird hairstyles. But it's European, so, you know, if they spike their hair all funky, that's just the way it is. The other day we was walking around the mall, and this lady had a haircut as short as mine, but it was like bright purple. You can't help to stare. It's like, that's weird. But that's not what it's talking about with Jesus Christ. People, they were not talking about just staring at Jesus Christ. When they said the things that they have heard, the things that they have seen, and have looked upon, that literally means to meditate. To think about, to put in their mind and to just consider. That meant that they went home that night and they sat down and they just thought, I saw a guy walk on water today. He didn't sink. He didn't drown. And he let Peter, can you imagine Peter? He went home that night. He sat down. I walked on water tonight. Jesus Christ, this guy, let me walk on water. How is that possible? And they meditated upon him. And they thought about the words that he said. And they thought about the things that they have experienced. John said, we meditated upon it. We looked upon it. We considered it. We thought about the things that we've seen. We thought about the things that we knew. And before you know it, at the end of the Bible, they are ready and easy to declare, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that didn't happen until they meditated upon it, till they experienced it, till they understood who they were talking about, till they understood what was happening in their lives. And they just had to sit down and meditate upon what they had seen and what they've heard. And the Bible says that what they have handled of the Word of God. This literally means, in the Spanish Bible, it says this word is palpar, which means that they physically touched Him. Have you ever thought that for 3.5 years, the apostles and people could physically, the only time it's ever happened, could physically touch God? Jesus Christ was God. And they could physically touch him. Think about the woman as she crawled up. She didn't even touch Jesus. She just touched his garment. And she was healed. And John, as they sat there, and as Thomas, he went home and he was sitting there meditating. He said, I know I saw him on the cross. But I reached in there and I felt that scar. He's alive. That is God. And they've got to physically touch God. And the Bible says that John and the apostles, they got this joy. They had this personal experience with Jesus Christ that no one else would ever have. That no one else would ever be able to ever experience. One day I will get to touch God. I will be able to touch the scars in His hands and in His side. But I didn't have that experience on earth. And they had an opportunity that no one else ever had. They got to physically sleep in the same house with God. They got to shake the hand of God. They said, we touched Him. We know He's real. We've seen the things that He's done. We've experienced His life. We saw Him hang on the cross. But after that, after 3.5 days, we saw Him disappear out of nowhere. I was there up in the room and He was enclosed. It was all locked up. And out of a sudden, out of nowhere, there He was. I don't know if He came out of the wall. You know, I don't know if He did like a X-Men thing where He just kind of morphed out of the wall. And the Bible says after that, He left again. That's amazing stuff. We experience that. We know He's real. We know He's alive. So we had this experience. They experienced His cruel death, His resurrection. They have touched with their hands and understood that. In verse 2 it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, and that which we have seen and declare unto you, that we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Number two, first He wanted to show us what we have experienced. Number two, He wants to show you what we did. The Bible says that they testified. I'm telling you, when you see a man come out of the grave, he's been stinking, he's been in there for 3.5 days, Lazarus, and he walked out. You have to tell somebody about that. That's cool. So they told somebody about it. The Bible says they testified. This term here, testify, is a legal term. Just like if you went to court and you raised your right hand, what you told was the truth. They said, we testify. We saw it. I touched it with my hands. I know it's real. The Bible says that over 500 people afterwards testified. They all said the same thing. We touched His hands and His feet and His side. We heard Him speak. We know He's real. And John was saying to us, Jesus is alive. We know He's real. I have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And John says, I want you to do the same thing. We showed it unto you. Now he uses two things here. In verses 2 it says, the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. And in verse 3 that says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Two different verbs. The first one, we showed, it's kind of like when you go on a vacation and you come back and you show pictures and you show images, or if you have taken any video. That's what he's talking about there. He's showing it. And what John is saying and what the apostles are saying is, here's the proof. These are the pictures. These are the scars on his hands and the feet. These are the scars in his side. This is what he did. There's Lazarus. He's alive again. We're showing you what this man did. We're showing you our experiences. We're showing you what we did. But in verse 3 it says proclaim. That means they preached the word of God. That means they said this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the only way I have eternal life is the same way you have eternal life. I declare unto you Jesus Christ. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got saved the same way we get saved. Trusting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. When the Ethiopian eunuch came to the man of God, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, you've got to be saved. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Same way. We've got to preach the Word of God to the people. We've got to show them what the Word of God means. That lady that got saved, Stella, she got saved just like you did. She didn't in different language, but she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I showed her from the Word of God, this is Jesus, and this is what He preached. I declared unto her how to get saved. It's the same thing. He said, we wrote that unto you. We proclaimed that Word of God.
And he said, here, this is what we desired. In verses 3, at the end of verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible says that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He wants us to have fellowship. John says, I want you to have the same experiences that we do, so that our joy must be full. But you have to understand, you're not going to have the full joy of Jesus Christ unless you're saved. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He does not mix with lightness and with darkness. We had a great message from Brother McCracken on the first night about the holiness of God. And only those who live righteously and have trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior are the only ones that will have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But John was saying to us this evening that he wants our joy to become full so that we can have fellowship one with another. How are we going to do that? I didn't get to walk with Jesus Christ, but I do have a walk with Jesus Christ. I didn't have a personal experience with Jesus Christ like John and the apostles had, but I do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I have experienced Him. I know what He's done with me and with me and for me in my life. I know the lives of the things that have taken place. I've seen the things that He's done for us in Argentina. I've seen the lives that He's changed in Argentina. We were praying and praying and praying for a local, we call them a local. We were praying and praying for these things, and they're expensive in lots of different places. God gave us that, we only pay $250 a month. That's God doing something, but that's an experience. I didn't do that. Jesus Christ did that. I got to watch my daughter get saved and baptized in Argentina. She got baptized in the Iglesia Bautista de Monte Grande. How many people get to say their child got to be baptized in Argentina? Those are experiences. I've seen the lives of people changed. I've heard Jesus Christ speak to my heart. I know He's real. And so guess what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to show it and proclaim it to other people. I'm supposed to do the same thing that John did for us. And John says, I want you to have a full joy. I want you to have a life full of joy. But you have to do it by the experiences of Jesus Christ and be saved. But then do it to other people. He says there in verses 3, that we may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. It is God's will that everyone have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, and I practically quote this verse every time I preach, but it's one of my favorite verses in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. The Bible says that heaven comes down and Jerusalem comes down, and the Bible says that we will walk with God and God will walk with us. A long time ago, at the beginning of history, Adam and Eve got to walk with God. The Bible says no man has seen God, so obviously they didn't personally, physically see the actual Spirit of God, but He got to walk with them and fellowship with them. But one day, I'm going to get to do exactly the same thing. And that is God's desire for everyone. And you imagine Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Why? Because he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and instantaneous, he was walking with God in heaven, never had to see death. That's what God wants for everybody. It doesn't make a difference whether in Argentina or they're right here in Hazlet, Texas. I can promise you there's people in Hazlet, Texas that are not saved. There's people in that brand new neighborhood right over there that are not saved. Do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We may not have experienced the same thing that John has experienced. We didn't get to see. We didn't get to personally see and walk on the water. But we can look into our lives and we can see the things that He's done. We can see the changes that He's made. We can see how He spoke to our hearts. I know that God called me to Argentina. Nobody else did. He spoke to me about it. Your question is tonight, number one, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You can't have a full joy unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But when you know the Lord as the apostles knew Him, you will have full joy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for this evening. I thank You so much for this opportunity that our family has had to come and to be able to preach Your Word. And Lord, to be able to pour our hearts out and to show the folks and the people that have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in Argentina. And Lord, it's our desire that every Argentine that we win to Christ have a life full of joy. God, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Maybe there's some Christians here tonight, Lord, that aren't walking with You. They don't have a full joy in their lives because they're not going back and allowing Jesus Christ to have experiences in their life. Lord, they're not looking back and saying, I can see all the things that Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. And that makes me want to serve Him more. I pray, God, that You'd work in our hearts this evening. Help us have a good invitation. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you can stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.